Welcome to episode 99 of the Breakdown Walls podcast.
We're gonna party like it's episode 99.
Because it is, though.
It is.
Episode 99. That is one less than 100.
My God.
One less. We actually made it here. This is technically the last traditional episode. So, yeah. Interesting. All right. Well, anyway, let me say this in the intro here. We can already tell you that this episode is going to be a great episode.
Yep.
Why? Let me tell you why. Because the interview with Guy Dev, advertised highly in the previous episode, has indeed been recorded at this point. We've already done that thing.
We can now confirm that he is an actual human and not a machine.
Which is weird, because you wouldn't think a human would be capable of stuff that, that Guy Dev does. However, confirmed. Human being. All right. That's a spoiler, by the way. We got some stuff to talk about. Some news that I'm looking forward to talking about, although I kind of find it hilarious, but we'll get to that in a moment. We will get
it always happens. It always happens.
Yes, but this is like times a thousand. But we'll get to that. We'll get to that. All right. So other than the interview, we do have a great. By the way, the interview is like 50 minutes long. So if an interview with Guy Dev is what you wanted, you are on the right episode of this podcast.
Yeah.
It's a good interview and it's awesome. All right. Let's get to it. Episode 99 hype. Let's begin the show with some.
Gaming news. Gaming news.
Again, it's one of those weird situations, Sterlock, because you realize that we just said that for this format of the podcast for the last time.
My God.
It is interesting to me. Like, I'm actually feeling feelings here. Like, this is cool. Like, things, I mean, it's like a little, I mean, it's not, I don't know if sad's the right word, but like, I feel the change, you know?
Yep.
It's coming. But anyway, in gaming news, today in gaming news, we're going to start off by talking about the really, really, really great cause that was just recently done, I guess, completed. Well, not, it's never really completed, but anyway, what I'm referring to is A Day Off Twitch, which is something that a lot of creators decided to support those who have been going through a lot of terrible things on the Twitch platform, hate raids and that kind of thing. We talked about this last week to a certain degree as well. Talked about the movement, Twitch Do Better movement and all that stuff. And the cause, the Day Off Twitch cause, was a way of supporting that movement. And I wanted to talk about it on this show for two reasons. Number one, I was one of those people who did support it, and I did take a day off Twitch. I fully admit that I made a mistake the day before. I said on stream that I was streaming the next day, because the way that my mind works these days is I tend to plan things week over week instead of day by day.
Yeah.
And so I don't, I take the week and say like, oh, okay, since I don't have to work, then that means I can stream. And that's the end of that. Like, I don't think about the dates. And the Twitch, day off Twitch was September 1st. And I didn't realize it when I said that. I didn't realize that you know, the next day was, of course, September 1st. So I did support the cause, though, took a day off Twitch. And I was not alone. And this is why I wanted to talk about it.
It was a pretty massive success, I'd say.
Yes, it was a massive success. Now, before I give the numbers that I've seen, I want you guys just to consider, before you go saying, well, this is a small number, blah, 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 you got to consider how many people, and there are a lot of people that stream on Twitch. A lot of people.
Yep.
So, the numbers that I saw is, with a non-conservative view, there's a couple things that some people are factoring in, and they give a more conservative view as a result of that. but with a non-conservative view, approximately streaming on Twitch was down 15%.
Wow.
Think of the thousands and thousands of people. That's
not a, I mean, it sounds small, but when you consider how many people are on Twitch, it's really not.
It's huge. Yeah. Yeah. Streaming was down 15%. That's the non, the conservative estimate is still 7%, and that's still pretty good. But that's like factoring in things like, you know, people not streaming because of Gamescom or blah, 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 you know.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. People came up with reasons why people might not be streaming so much and so on and so forth. But it is what it is. Like, even conservatively, the numbers are there. And I'm so happy to see that so many people supported this cause, and so many people are acknowledging that Twitch does, in fact, need to do better.
Yep.
So congratulations to everyone who did take that day off to show Twitch that they need to fix themselves. There was also a petition floating around. I know that Wreck-It Raven did tweet it out, and I did sign that as well. So I guess look up Wreck-It Raven on Twitter and see if you can find it. all right. Let me open up my gaming news. Oh, yeah. The next thing in gaming news is the thing that I'm going to go ahead and call hilarious.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. And I need to put it this way. I need to put it this way because this is the way I think that Sturlock will laugh the most. Okay, here we go. Hey, Sturlock. Why didn't we tell our audience several months ago that, of course, the PlayStation Showcase would be on September 9th? Why didn't we tell them, you know, like in July? Like, even though it wasn't announced, you know, clearly we would have known, because this is what always happens. And this is
always
what
always on podcast day. Always.
Yes, but this is what always happens to the thousandth power, because this time it's the PlayStation Showcase that everyone has been waiting for like a year. And it's not just on any episode day. It's on episode 100 day.
Yep.
I mean, of course it is.
Of course it is. Why wouldn't it be? Because, you know.
The PlayStation Showcase. Why would it be any other day? The PlayStation Showcase. Of course it is.
Yep.
Dang. So here's the thing, guys. Here's the honest truth about
this. Tony does it on purpose.
Like, hey, I think the Breakdown Walls podcast is having another episode on September 9th. Oh, perfect. All right, we got this.
But we jokingly said it was going to be on a Thursday, because it always... Well, yeah, that's the thing, too. Like, when it was Wednesday...
Yeah, it was on Wednesdays.
It was on Wednesdays or Thursday, so it was like a day after the podcast. So it was like,
right, yeah.
Wait a week to...
Yep.
To talk about this stuff, so...
It's so crazy. So, but here's the thing. This puts us in a very strange position. So I think, and we can talk about this, Sturlock, if you have a differing opinion on this, but weirdly enough, I know this is odd for us, but I kind of think that we are probably just going to stick to our original plan and do the 100th episode special thing that we wanted to do. So we're kind of not going to cover this one. Like,
I think we should.
You think we should? You think we should? Okay. What if we do this? What if we cover this one? What if we cover it, but it's still the special episode? We cover it and then do the rundown of the best.
That's kind of what I was thinking. We start with the
covering with the this,
because you know it's going to be.
It's yeah, you're big. Right. You're right.
It's too big not to.
It's going to be. It's actually going to be the thing that we wanted, probably.
That's probably.
Let's hope.
Last of Us 1 remake that is all but confirmed, but not announced at this point.
Not officially announced. We need that announcement to happen. I hope that's what it is.
Hopefully.
I mean, I hope that's at least part of it. It's supposed to be 40 minutes long, so.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's got to be part of it. It's got to be.
I hope that's part of it. Yep. I'm hopeful. But yeah. So, okay. I guess we will cover it, which means we will. Well, actually, we've been doing the podcast later in the evening anyway, so that's fine. It is going down at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 Pacific next Thursday. So
Cool.
PlayStation Showcase, man. Actually happening, man.
It's going to be like a 4-hour episode of podcasts right. Next week.
Yeah, only 4 hours. That's fine.
Good Lord. I mean, the new format's really going to be about 4 hours.
Yeah, yeah. Each episode will be about 4 hours, but it'll be only once a month, too. So it'll be kind of compacted.
Yep.
All right. So next up in gaming news, both good and bad news concerning a certain game. You can now pre-order Horizon Forbidden West if that's the kind of thing you'd like to do. That's cool. Horizon Forbidden West is highly anticipated. It's probably going to be really awesome. You know, one of Sony's bigger games coming up in 2022. Going to be an RPG, just like Horizon Zero Dawn, which is also awesome. So probably going to be amazing.
Yep.
So pre-orders going live today. Good news. Here's the bad news. And nobody understands this. Nobody knows why Sony did this. And I will admit that I'm one of those people who doesn't understand why they made this decision. But they made it, and here it is. There's no upgrade path. So if you pre-order the PS4 version, you can't, like, let's say you don't have a PS5 yet. You can't upgrade it.
Well, that's pretty dumb.
That's pretty dumb. To me, here's my thoughts on this.
Especially in a time where PlayStation 5s are still super scarce.
Yeah, yeah.
If they weren't, I would maybe understand that a little better. But, like, it's still nearly impossible to find PlayStation 5s in the wild.
Yeah, it's pretty difficult. They're trying to ramp up production, which is good, but it's still fairly tough right now. But here's the thing. I think it is just dumb enough that I actually expect them to go back on this. I expect them to offer some kind of upgrade.
It's too big of a game for that. I don't know. It just seems like they're not going to... I think they're shooting themselves in the foot if they stick with this, because, like, I think they don't really need the negative press right now.
No, not with... I mean, sure, they're finally doing a showcase, but everyone's been waiting for this for how long now? And just, like... You know,
they dragged their feet for months.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, say what you want about Xbox's quality of their showcases, but the fact is, Xbox has been doing showcases. Like,
they've been stepping up their game in that regard.
Yeah, there have been, what, three this year?
Yeah.
So
good.
Like, yeah.
Quality-wise, not so much, but...
Yeah, well, you know, it is what it is. I've put in my complaints.
Yep.
I actually got responses, but, you know...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Can you talk about them or probably
not? Probably not.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Probably not. But I think
figured not, but
I think the fact that I got them shows you that at least, you know, that I see that as a good thing in itself. So
at all, which is a positive, I'd say.
Yeah, yeah. I did get responses.
It shows that
On some level I am being heard.
So that's good. Whether it's listened to or not. Yeah. But I mean, at least you're being acknowledged and, like,
Yeah, I agree. That is actually all for that. So no upgrade path on Horizon Forbidden West. Unfortunate, but hopefully they go back on that. And that is actually all we have for gaming news. I actually looked at the gaming section of The Verge today to try to find something else. I was like, is there anything else that happened? Not really.
I actually do have a thing I want to talk about.
Okay, good.
About Hearthstone, of all things. And not just because we're both obsessed with Hearthstone.
Right. That's true. Mm-hmm.
But just from, I've been following a lot of people in the Hearthstone community. And somebody actually posted an article about this today. It's about mercenaries.
Uh-huh.
And this will let me... give the analogy, the proper analogy that I tried to give before I got interrupted with the phone call.
Yeah, I know. That was interesting timing. We were like, huh? What?
So Mercenaries got announced.
Mm-hmm.
It's a new game mode in Hearthstone. It's basically like an entire new game.
Pretty much.
Within Hearthstone. And people are very confused.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of that, too. I've seen a lot of that,
people
too.
People are very confused, and they're like, okay, we're very confused because, like, you give us all this info with no gameplay, pretty much.
What? I thought there was gameplay.
Not, I mean, little hints, but, like, they don't show enough to be useful.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But they went out of their way to, you know, announce Diablo 2 and that you can buy him for $50 mm-hmm. right now if you want to. I mean, I'm not saying that's a good or a bad thing. I was hyped for Diablo, and
it was a cool announcement.
Mercenaries, yeah, it was a really neat announcement.
Yeah,
but it also it was kind of sloppy. Like the whole thing just kind of fell. So here's the analogy that I was trying to make. It felt like an overexcited kid trying to tell their parents about this really awesome, cool thing that they did and being super hyper and giving all these details and not giving them a chance to ask questions.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Because, you know what, you know, like they gave, it was just basically information overload with no like chance to like, you know, they, you know, they said all this stuff that was just kind of meaningless. It was like, oh, you know, these do double damage against protectors. It's like, okay, that's good, I think.
Right. We don't know, you know, we don't know what the life scaling is going to be like in mercenaries. We don't know.
Right.
Yeah. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. It was just too much information and it was too much too quickly. And I can see why people are taking issue with it. I'm still kind of excited for it. I think it looks neat.
Yeah, I do too. I'm still down.
I'm not expecting it to be accessible for a long time.
Well, yeah, well, no spoilers here, I guess, but we touch on that at the tail end of the interview that you just barely missed.
Yep.
But yeah, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, mercenaries is a thing.
People are kind of apprehensive and like not really sure how to feel about it.
Yeah, I get that.
Overall, from what I've seen and overall in the Hearthstone community that I follow.
Yeah. I'm still personally excited for it, but yeah, I'm not expecting to play it for quite some time either.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, I may have gotten the Diablo bundle.
I did not, but I kind of did buy like 60 packs of Stormwind today, and I still haven't opened them, but yeah.
Well, that's cool. There you go. All right, but we'll get to more Hearthstone later, though, because there's a reason, trust me. Okay. I actually remembered one other thing that I could mention here. Yesterday, IGN did a gameplay preview of the Marvel's Midnight Suns game, the game that was recently announced at the Gamescom event.
That thing looks really good.
It's really interesting. So they talked a little bit about, I guess the major thing I wanted to bring up here is they showed a little bit of the combat. And just like you'd expect in a tactics game, everyone has a set of abilities. And they have, you know, your standard moves, your finishing moves, and then they have like super, super finishing moves called the Midnight Sun abilities. Nice. You know, because, you know, roll credits and all that.
He said the title of the movie the movie.
Yeah, exactly. And they describe those abilities as, what they say, like battlefield changers or something like that. Some big thing. Like those are apparently very epic moves.
Nice.
So you have all these abilities, but here is the thing that I wasn't expecting. Along with the tactics gameplay, there is actually a card element to this game.
Oh, really?
So when you take a team into battle, you aren't given all of their abilities to use. You're given a selection of their abilities based on cards.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. You do pick your team, but then your the abilities you have. I mean, of course, there'll be only abilities that you've unlocked so far. But, you know, aside from that, they're going to be cards that are assigned before the battle starts. And apparently, this is how loot works too. Loot is a card-based system as well. So it's a very interesting idea, I guess.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of people be concerned about it because, like, you put your cards in my boxes. Tactics game.
Yeah. Yep.
But you know, I'm intrigued at least to see how they handle it. I'm actually even more intrigued by the other stuff they were talking about, which was basically how you can you're living with these people. You're living with superheroes. You are yourself a fully customizable superhero called the Hunter. And you are living in an abbey, actually, with these other superheroes, Wolverine and, you know, all the Avengers and the X-Men and stuff. Everyone's living together as they try to solve this crisis. So because of that,
sounds like the plot of a sitcom.
It kind of does. And there's kind of a sitcom element to it. So like, it kind of like a, kind of like what it made me think of was Grand Theft Auto 5 or 4. I guess 4 too would still apply.
Yeah.
Where like Ramon's always calling you in Grand Theft Auto 4 and says, we should go bowling. Nico, we need to go bowling. Okay, anyway. So that's a common GTA 4 thing. But that kind of happens in this game apparently, because you are building relationships with these superheroes. And there's plenty of conversations you can have with them. There's plenty of lore, like moments. There's plenty of story, plenty of interactions, like human interactions, as they, you know, tell you things they've never told anyone else this and stuff like, you know, stuff like that. And there's also activities with them, like you could go weightlifting with Tony Stark or something like that. You know, right. You can do a whole bunch of stuff, and all this stuff that you do affects them in combat. And in fact, you unlock abilities for them depending on the height of your relationship.
Okay, so it's like social links in Persona.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's pretty much like Persona. So here you go. You have the tactics game that has the cards and also the social links.
That's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah.
Huh.
I think if it's deep enough, that could be a neat system. I hope it is.
Yeah.
Also the new preview trailer, this is a nerd thing that I just like. The new preview trailer of the game, Wolverine spoke in the preview trailer, and I'm happy to confirm that it is in fact Steve Blum, who has been Wolverine for a lot of recent things. So
good.
So good on them for getting him in. So yeah, that is the thing. And I think that's all we have for gaming news.
Yep.
Unless, okay, good. All right. Well then, with that, we shall move forward. And how? How, you may be asking. Do we move forward? I know how we move forward. We move forward by going to
Accessibility News.
Accessibility News for the last time in this format.
Yep.
Oh man, it's something.
Wow. Else.
Anyway, here's the news. Ladies and gentlemen, it's looking like Hearthstone Access and the Hades mods are not the only mods in the yard.
Indeed.
You see, recently shown in a YouTube video, although fairly briefly, is a mod for World of Warcraft, another Blizzard title that currently is very specifically kind of a screen reader for the game.
Yep.
Now, that said, it was very nice. I feel like I need to stress this because I'm sometimes down on things that are only narration, because I always say with a lot of games, narration alone is not enough. So I don't want people to think I'm down on this, because I'm really not. What was there was super cool. What was that?
I said definitely.
Yeah. It was. So what was there was super cool. It was reading the character profile, the equipment on the character, and then they showed off the map and the quest reading ability of the thing. And that is awesome. All that stuff is great. And all that stuff needs to be there. I want that mod to succeed. And I want it to be more than that. but I'm super happy that it exists at all.
Yep.
So World of Warcraft, man, if that mod goes to levels of blind playability, oh no. Oh no.
Oh my god.
Oh no. Oof. Don't give me that addiction too.
Oh god. We're gonna have like blind guilds.
Blind guilds. Yeah, man. I'm down. I'm down. Let's do it. but yeah, you know, it's cool. It's really, really cool. I'm definitely gonna keep an ear out for more on that. I want to follow its progress, and I'm hoping for the best. I'm hoping that we do get things like audio cues and things that are added beyond narration that make it even better.
Indeed.
All right. So next up, I figured Hearthstone.
Our current obsession.
So you know, here's the thing. Yes, it is the current obsession. I want to give this is we didn't even say this in the interview, but this is the, you know, in case he listens to the episode after this, a pre-interview shout out, or I guess for us, a post-interview shout out to GuideDev for taking the changes that were made in the Hearthstone code with the latest patch of Hearthstone, where they completely reorganized the main menu and releasing on the same day a patch that fixes the main menu for us.
Yeah.
Because he himself was like, man, this sucks. Like, it's going to take more work now because they changed the main menu. And I get it. Like, it does suck, but he still did it. And it was like, it was there in like an hour.
I was expecting, you know, maybe the next day.
I thought it was going to delay the patch. Yeah.
I'm not going to be able to play Hearthstone tonight. You know, when the new quest, when the new daily shows up, whatever. That's fine.
Yep.
I'll wait. And, but nope, it showed up.
He did it in like an hour or two. It's like, oh, okay.
It was closer to like three. But
it might
yeah.
have been three.
It was still like a fairly timely, like I okay. I wasn't expecting that to come out today.
He hooked us up. He hooked us up that day. And I think he deserves a shout out for that, because that was really awesome. So the mod continues to be updated. There are now three solo adventures available for those who only want to use what's available in the mod. If you don't want to use, you know, Golden Cursor and OCR and all that fun stuff, you can access three solo adventures now. The latest one is Garrosh, the Warrior. And he's a fun one. I have completed his already. And it's quite fun.
I'm almost done with... I've only got a few left. I just started Malfurions. I've got Anduin's to do, and Illidan, and then... What's her name? The rogue.
Oh, Valyra.
Valyra, yeah.
Yeah. I only have one left. The only one I haven't done is Illidan's, and the only reason I haven't done it is because I kind of wanted to do Ashes of Outland before I tackled his Book of Heroes, because I think Ashes of Outland is his past, Book of Heroes is his present, you know?
Right.
So I kind of wanted to do that, but you know, we're kind of waiting on that, because that's Ashes of Outland is apparently... It's very different when it comes to layout and stuff.
It's gonna need, I don't know if it's possible to do it currently with the GC setup.
It doesn't seem to be. I've been trying.
It's kind of weird. Yeah.
I've been trying. I got to chapter 1/1 and I can't seem to move forward from there. So, yeah. But I did complete the prologue and that was fun, but you know. Anyway, so what follows is a little bit of a spoiler, a little bit of an interview spoiler, but I basically told Stirlock this is coming. I'm going to bring it up. So for those who are willing to use OCR and Golden Cursor and things like that, there's a lot we've been able to figure out and a lot we've been able to do. But one thing that Stirlock has apparently just figured out is crafting.
Yep.
And I am intrigued. I would like to know more.
Indeed.
How does this work if you are not of the sighted persuasion, Stirlock?
So in the new Golden Cursor file, in the GC file.
Oh, there's a new one. Oh, I need to get this apparently.
It came out like a day or two ago.
Oh, then I probably already have it. Okay.
But if you notice in that file, there is a My Collection crafting section. You can go to the crafting menu.
Okay, I did notice that. I just figured that there was no point in me going there.
Well, I was like, okay. Yeah, let's explore this and see if we can do anything. And you can indeed do stuff.
Yay!
There is a, and it shows up with OCR, there is a nice, nifty mass, like, disenchant button that will disenchant all of your duplicate cards if you have more than
two
of a given card.
Yeah,
or that's, one, that's... or one of a legendary, because you can only have one of each legendary in a deck.
Yeah.
It will just mass disenchant all of those cards for you.
Which is good, go ahead.
And the number of dusts that you get is accurate, by the way. It's not like one of those weird,
weird number problems.
Yeah, I know how sometimes numbers are weird in OCR. Mm-hmm. The numbers seem to be pretty consistent and accurate. So
cool.
You can tell how much dust you're getting and how much you have and stuff like that. So I disenchanted a bunch of the duplicates that I had. I'm gonna have a lot more when I open all my packs.
Yeah. And then you're gonna do it again.
Yep. So yeah. There is a handy dandy search thing in said crafting menu. I think what it also does is I think it gives you some random cards. It's like recommended cards that you can craft.
Oh, really? Okay.
Right there. On the page. But yeah, you can do, search your mouse to the thing and click it. And then you can type. You're not going to get any, really feedback.
Right, of course.
But it does work.
Yeah, wow.
So I was able to create a few cards. Like, I made a couple spirit jailers for soul fragments.
That is awesome.
For my warlock deck, I made a couple Touch of the Nethrism for my warlock deck, because that's pretty good healing.
That is awesome.
So, yeah.
And, that's so cool.
And at some point, it's not a huge... Oh, I want to make Flesh Giants too at some point.
Yeah, I need to do that too. I actually am in the... I was going to tell you, but apparently you beat me to it. I'm actually in the process of building a handlock.
You're making deck. A handlock deck. Nice.
Yep. I actually am almost done. I think I have every piece except Flesh Giants. I don't have any Flesh Giants. That's very sad. Very sad.
It's so, especially if you can pair it with Battlegrounds Battlemaster.
I have that.
Just get it. Give it. Yeah,
I know. I know.
Get Wind Fury and you just
32 win. Damage.
Oh my God.
32 damage for what? 5 mana?
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Oh God. Yeah, I'm down. And
the Flesh Giant is super broken.
Yeah, and but Sturlock.
But they nerfed it.
They totally nerfed it.
They nerfed it by totally... What, they increased the mana cost by what, one?
One. Exactly one.
That's not gonna do shit.
Nope, because the whole thing about that card, for those who don't know, the Flesh Giant decreases in cost every time your health changes on your own turn. So,
and what does the war, what the quest warlock do? Oh, right,
change its health all the time.
Yeah. Oh wait, like why didn't they make its cut? Like I was like, I'm surprised. Like, so there's a Hearthstone streamer that I've been following. Her name is like HS Punk Harls or something like that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The one you directed my way.
Yeah. So we were talking about that, and I was like, I'm surprised they didn't, like, make Flesh Giant at least, like, 12 costs. And her fiancé was immediately just like, or 20. I'm like, yeah, actually, 20 would probably be kind of reasonable.
If you want to nerf it, you need more than one mana. There actually is a 12-cost thing. It's a Clockwork Giant. It's a 12-cost thing.
Yep.
And I don't remember how it reduces its cost, but it does. You can reduce, because obviously... you'll never have 12 mana, so how the heck do you cast it?
Right.
It has a cost reduction thing, but that would at least 12 would at least be a starting point for the Flesh Giant. But no, they just like, okay, we'll just make it 10. That's
like that. No, that's not gonna do anything.
That said, I'm totally gonna make some Flesh Giants.
Oh, I will too. So the nice thing about being blind too is like, we don't care about golden cards, so like,
yeah, I really don't.
park costs are kind of cheap.
Yeah, because I'll straight up get rid of golden cards if I have like common, you know, regular version of the same card. I'll straight up get rid of golden cards. I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I'm going to get rid of, if I get normal versions of Spice Bread Baker, I'm going to just disenchant my golden Spice Bread Bakers because I don't need them.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, exactly.
Cool to have, I guess, but like when they're like, they function exactly the same.
Oh, you know what? I also need to face you again with my original Quest Warlock because I changed it. Not much, but I changed it a little bit. I got rid of the Trapped Sorceress.
Oh, yeah.
Because there, I noticed that more often than not, I would end up never using the cards during the quest because I was too focused on the quest.
I got rid of Shady Bartender, too. Like, it just...
Yeah.
I never end up using it.
Yeah, so I replaced it with School Spirits.
Ooh, that's a good one. I need to get that's a card I need. That's a card I need.
Now I even get more Soul Fragments.
Yep. Another card I need. Yep.
Yep. Yepers.
They're not trapped. They're my friends.
They're my friends. Oh my god. I love this game. Hearthstone, yo.
Game is so good.
Hearthstone. I'm gonna craft some cards tonight. What am I gonna do tonight? yeah, man.
Definitely let me know how it goes. It's not the most intuitive thing in the world, but
no, but I mean if you did it, I believe I can do it. I believe.
I have gotta to believe. Believe.
I gotta believe. Yeah, man. Hearthstone. I mean, they're really like, unless you have something else to break this perfect segue.
Nope, I really don't.
Okay, good. No, because really this is perfect. So what better way to move forward into the interview with Guide Dev, the developer of Hearthstone Access, than after talking about Hearthstone? I don't think there is one. So that's what we're gonna do. Folks, we've done this interview already. It's an awesome interview. You guys are gonna love it. You guys enjoy that. We're going to reflect on it while we do our outro. Enjoy the interview with Guide Dev. Let's try that again.
Yes. I believe it's working.
All right. So I've been talking for the last minute and a half and apparently could not be heard. Yay. All right. Hang on just a second here. I'm actually sending our guest the link. This is the interview segment of the show. Ladies and gentlemen, you know how this works if you've been a part of one of these interviews before, if you listen to one of these before. I gotta send the link to the guest and it records immediately when Sherlock joins, so you know it's a process. So hang on just a moment. We will get the guest on as soon as we can. I am currently sending the link right now.
Right now.
Right yesterday. So, Sherlock, while we wait for our guest to arrive, why don't we give an introduction to a guest that doesn't need an introduction?
Yes.
First of all, how do you do that? And second of all, ladies and gentlemen, this is an interview with the one, the only Guide Dev of Hearthstone Access fame.
The machine himself.
The machine. The machine that is about to join us in this conversation.
I'm fully expecting to hear some sort of TTS.
Hello, I have arrived. Interview commencing. Right. I mean, this Guide Dev is I mean, a machine. I mean, there's no better way to put it. A machine. 5,000 lines of code in card deck building alone.
Yeah.
So, yeah. About that. So hopefully, very soon.
I may have a slight problem.
You have a slight problem. I have a slight problem. Hey, there we go.
Hey, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, has arrived. The one, the only, the incomparable Guy Dev.
The Indomitable.
The Indomitable.
Adjective.
The adjective. Welcome. Welcome to the show. We are happy to have you on the show today.
Can you hear me?
Yes, yes, we can hear you.
Okay, sorry, I was just fiddling with this. Yeah, so hi guys, hi Brendan.
Hey.
Hi Sirlock, nice to meet you both. Thanks for inviting me to the show.
Yeah, absolutely. We're happy to have you, we really are. This is something that when Hearthstone Access was released, we both said, and I feel like it was almost at the same time, podcast.
Yep.
So, yes, we're so happy to have you on the show. Let's get into it. Let's get into it. So, welcome, first of all, to a show where we talk about, where we basically, we have a habit of going on tangents and ranting. And Hearthstone Access has been the subject of multiple tangents over the past few weeks. So, it's a big deal, and it's awesome. I think I want to start with a kind of a just a public and very heartfelt thank you for your work.
Thank you.
What you have done effectively is you opened a door that we pretty much were sure would remain closed forever. So,
yep.
So it was really awesome that you did that for us.
That was the intention, so I'm happy to hear it.
Yeah, I'm happy that you did it. Okay, so let's get into the questions though. My first question for you is, what got you started? What led you down the path of creating Hearthstone Access?
Okay, so that's a bit of a long story and probably not all too exciting, but I'll try to sum it up.
I don't know. As best as I can.
Yeah, so first of all, I used to play a lot of games when I was younger, and I actually started programming when I was 9 because I wanted to make my own games. I don't remember the details exactly, but by the time I was 12, I already had built a bunch of games, and programming was just part of my life. And I naturally became a software engineer and built a lot of stuff over the years, not just games, many other things as my interests sort of diversified, but it was mostly software. So fast forward to my 30s, and at the end of last year, I was involved in a serious traffic accident. Oh. And I ended up spending quite a few months in and out of the hospital. And, you know, in just doing boring hospital stuff like physical therapy, appointments, exams, that sort of stuff. Now, I was lucky enough to have good health insurance and access to paid sick leave. And I wasn't exactly able to do much other than sit down initially. I couldn't really move. So I just decided to use the free time that I had in between those sessions and appointments to build something that could help someone. And that's really the background. I didn't really have an idea beforehand or even an area that I'd like to explore, to be honest. I just kind of decided all of this after the accident.
That is tremendous. Like, it's tremendous and also kind of awful. Like, I mean, certainly we're sorry about the accident, but at the same time, like, it's amazing. It's amazing to think of the things that can spawn ideas like this, you know?
Like, it's fine. It's fine. It was a long time ago. It just happened. It took a while to recover, but on the bright side, I did have all of this free time that I could use to do something good. Yeah. So it's quite good.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So since the idea wasn't concrete right away in terms of like who it was going to you know, be for, who was going to help, when did that change happen? When did, like, was there a moment where you're like, you know, this is what I want to do?
Yeah. So like I said, I didn't really know initially what I was going to pick up. As far why I ended up doing something in this accessibility space even. It was, a lot of people have asked me if I'm blind or if someone close to me is blind and if that's why I'm doing this. That's not the case at all. The accident did affect my vision, but basically all it did was it caused me to start seeing double. But I could still see okay if I had one eye closed, for example, and a fair amount of Hearthstone Access was actually created with one eye closed, funnily enough, back then.
Oh, okay.
But in the end, that's what put accessibility in my shortlist of areas, because I ended up spending quite a bit of time in, you know, eye exams and appointments and all of that. But that's just, I think I always knew about accessibility. I just had to be a bit more exposed to it, to all of the different conditions, and to realize that, you know, this is an area that I could probably focus in and where technology can really help.
And we're back.
Sorry, very important phone call that I could not, I had to take.
So. Yeah.
My dad's bringing me groceries, so.
We are getting Guy Dev back in here right now, so.
All right, what did I miss?
Indeed. So this will be a two-part interview.
Yeah, so if I have to step away again, I'll leave it recording. Cause...
Yeah, okay.
Sorry about that.
There we go. All right, so this will be a two-part interview. We were just talking about how Guide Dev got started with Hearthstone Access. And I don't know how much of it you missed, Sherlock, but
I caught nothing.
Oh, caught nothing. Okay.
Yeah.
So it came out of a car accident, traffic accident, and basically he wasn't able to do anything for a long time because, like, other than physical therapy and things. And we're back.
Hello.
So sorry about that.
Sorry about that.
Technical difficulties. It's a thing, and it's unfortunate, and it's sad.
There's a problem that will no longer exist in a few weeks' time.
Right. Yeah. We're changing the form of the podcast completely, which is actually really cool. I don't know, Guy Dev, I don't know if you know this, but you're actually the last interview of the old format.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, you're the swan song. I mean, this is part of episode 99. Of the podcast. Now, after episode 100, we're changing the format. So there you go. 99! So I was just updating Sturlock. We actually lost Sturlock, which is part of the technical difficulty that we had. So I was updating Sturlock on the story of Hearthstone Access and how you got started and how it revolved around a traffic accident and the fact that you couldn't really move for a while and decided to make something for people who needed it. And how you kind of naturally started leaning toward accessibility. And how cool is that?
Heck yeah.
It's a terrible and also a great story. Like I said, traffic accidents, not fun, not cool. But at the same time, look, you made this thing that we love.
It's amazing.
So
we've talked about for years wanting to play Hearthstone.
Yeah, years. I've talked about it since it came out. I think Sturlock, I think I may have even, like, even back then, like when we weren't doing podcasts and everything, I may still have talked to you about it. I was like, man,
yeah, you did.
This game, it's so cool, but man, I can't play it. And the thing is, we kept trying stuff, Guy Dev. We would, like, there's a function that arrived on iOS devices called screen recognition. And
yeah,
it's cool. It's a neat idea. It's iOS, VoiceOver tries to recognize things on the screen that aren't typical control elements and still allow you to interact with them. And we were like, maybe we could use this to play Hearthstone. Like, that was the first thought. And of course, it wasn't good enough for that. But, you know, we tried. And that's the thing. We just kept trying all the time.
Yep.
And now we don't have to try anymore. So... I want to dive into the release of Hearthstone Access, the initial release. I think, and please do correct me if I'm wrong here, Guy Dev, but I think it's fair to say that, in the words of Illidan, you were not prepared. What was your reaction to the initial burst explosion of feedback that you got on the initial release?
It was a bit overwhelming at first.
I'm sure it was.
I'm sure that's like the tip of the iceberg.
Did, yeah, I, go I, ahead. Yeah, because you probably had no idea, like, the blind community will rally behind, as you saw firsthand, we will rally behind anything that we can play.
Yep, we really will. And yeah. And so we have done now with Hearthstone Access.
It was, I think a lot of it was probably due to the fact that I hadn't really talked about it with anyone. Really, it was sort of hidden, and the reason why I did that was mostly because I didn't want to say anything or release anything until I was absolutely sure I would be able to implement things the way I wanted them. So I didn't want to get so that's the big reason, really. I didn't reach out to anyone before. I knew there was an interest with card games, and particularly with not just card games, really, because initially I didn't even know whether I was going to build Hearthstone or something else, to be quite honest. I ended up picking Hearthstone mostly because I was looking for a game, and I had a few requirements for the game that I was looking for, but I did want something that was popular, that people could play with their friends, sighted friends even. But I really didn't want to get hopes up, so I just ended up picking it in the end and tried things out, tried to come up with some sort of proof of concept, and I just released it, really. So I had absolutely no idea whether I was going to keep working on it or not. It was all dependent on what the feedback after that first release would be.
And would you say that the feedback after that first release was good? I'm totally messing with you at this point.
No, absolutely. I think
it was terrible. Everyone hated it.
Yeah, it was actually quite quite funny, because we had a string of coincidences coming up together. Yeah. First, it was someone who asked me on Reddit. He said, "This is really cool. I'm just curious, did you build this because of this topic that came up a couple of weeks ago?"
Oh,
and it was
really?
A topic by Starlock.
Yep.
Oh, really?
Yep. Actually,
I didn't know that part of the story.
Yeah,
that's
and,
cool.
And I hadn't seen that topic.
Yeah, I posted my thread because I just got it in my head, you know, like Hearthstone, like, would take relatively little effort in terms of
compared to other games,
compared to Blizzard's other games. And this thought process started because I was playing WoW with my sighted friend, who is now my girlfriend, but playing WoW with her and some other friends, and kind of got me down the path, like, oh man, Hearthstone.
Play that. Yep.
And I make my thread, and I have no idea that this is being, you know, worked on in the shadows, as it were.
Yeah. Oh,
man, it's so awesome.
What a great connection that is.
That was pretty cool, and something else that I thought was quite cool was that so I then went into that thread, and I think I replied to it, and someone else did as well, and someone called you, Starlock, into the Hearthstone Access thread, and then about, what, I don't know, half an hour later, not even that maybe, you said, you know what, my friend, who was Brandon, is actually streaming this on Twitch, or going to be streaming this on Twitch. And you sent the link over. And so in the space of, what, one hour, something like that, of releasing the thread, someone was testing something that I hadn't, and no one had tested before, live. So I was a bit nervous.
And it just so happened to be on his 3-year stream anniversary.
Yeah.
That's the other coincidence. This 3-year stream anniversary, we interrupt the plan for the 12-hour stream day to go try Hearthstone Access out. And it was totally worth it. Totally worth it. Yeah, I mean, what a string of coincidences. But it even goes, you know, not only do you have that string of connections and coincidences there, but it goes even further, because then we expand to connections that I have as well with people at Blizzard. So how did you feel when Blizzard employees were in my chat acknowledging your work?
I think that's pretty good. And I was happy with it, definitely. I also had some likes and retweets and even some very nice words from people who do work for Blizzard. And I truly appreciate those comments. And it's good to see that people who actually work in the game or in the company who developed the game aren't annoyed by the fact that I did this or anything. Yeah. But I must confess, I'm still always a bit nervous that someone from Blizzard asks me to shut things down now that so many people
really
are enjoying the game or something.
They can't afford the bad press that would come from that. They really can't.
Yeah, because even there was an article written about Hearthstone Access shortly after the release. And the end of that article, I don't know if you saw this, but the end of that article says basically, what was it? I can't remember the exact wording, but it's like, if Blizzard were to ban users that were using this mod, they would really be, I believe the quote is, putting their foot in it.
Yeah.
They really would.
Because you're not trying to change the gameplay. You're not trying to change the experience. We're just trying to give people that experience. And I think the people that the people that I know at Blizzard, they see that. I mean, Nikki says you're her hero. So,
that's so, far I too mean, kind.
That's you know, there you go. I want to talk a little bit about if you're cool with, I mean, not like super details, but I mean, whatever you're cool with. I want to talk about the guts of Hearthstone Access, the guts of the mod. Because right off the bat, Hearthstone Access is impressive, even in the tutorial. It just jumps out at you as being there and being playable. It
feels like a natural part of the game.
Yeah, I don't know how to explain this, but like if I hadn't watched other people play the tutorial of Hearthstone, I would probably think that the things that were happening in Hearthstone Access with like the narration and the tutorial and all that stuff, the little extra recorded synthesized dialogue you have in there, I would probably think they were part of the game because the mod is so smoothly integrated that it feels natural. It feels like it was always there, even though it obviously wasn't. So first of all, congratulations on that. But second of all, what can you tell us, I guess, without, I don't know how deep you want to go here, but what can you tell us about how that works? How the mod is not doing what we're doing with Golden Cursor. You know, it's not, we're not talking about OCR here. We're talking about deep hooks and things like that, I imagine.
Yeah. So, without diving too deeply into technical details, I'm fine talking about this. It's just more so we don't confuse listeners with things. you can think of Hearthstone Access as essentially a patch on top of the real game. The reason why I chose to call it a mod is mainly because the majority of people understand that a mod is something that works on top of a game, but most people don't necessarily know or even need to know the details behind what a mod or a patch is or how it works.
Yeah, so mod is like the cultural language, so you just went with that.
Yeah. To put it in simple terms, a mod is, you know, something that you normally create using something such as an API that the game provides you with to build extensions for. So something like an add-on for World of Warcraft is a good example, or a map editor for an RTS such as StarCraft or Age of Empires is not exactly a mod, but it's pretty similar to how those things work.
Yeah.
Now, Hearthstone doesn't have a modding API, and the truth is that even if it did, I highly doubt it would be possible to have the level of control that Hearthstone Access has over the game. Mainly as, you know, the person who, or the people who pick the API are just developers working on it, and they have very clear intentions about what they want to be made possible or not. And so I don't really think a developer in their right mind would create a modding API that allows you to pause the game, slow the entire game down, those sorts of things that you see in the tutorial, where you just, the narrator interrupts everything. It doesn't move the game forward or anything. That's not really possible by doing a mod unless you have a modding API that allowed for it. But like I said, you're extremely unlikely to ever have something like that.
Yeah.
So it's, at the same time, it's, there, There are other things that I could have done and other ways that I could have approached this, but I truly wanted to create a, or to make the game accessible in a way that it truly felt like the game had been created for gamers to play. And so I really wanted something that you could just, you know, pick for a couple of hours and relax, think about the game itself, not think about having to work around interfaces that were built for sighted players or
That's what it feels
exactly.
like.
Yeah,
it feels so smooth and natural. It's amazing.
So that means I did something right and I'm happy for it.
Oh yeah. Yeah, no, you only did one thing right now. Just kidding. You did a lot of things. Come on, man. Give yourself some credit, my friend.
No, that's really the main reason why I had to do it like this. There's just no other way. You really have to go a lot deeper than a simple add-on or mod for a game would work if you want to do stuff like this. And there's just so much happening behind the scenes. You really, I hear these comments a lot about people saying, you know what, it took a guy out of nowhere to build this, and Blizzard could have done this in 2 or 3 days. Yep. That's not really the point, and it's not really accurate either. Just because it's a card game, there's a lot of complexity behind the game itself. If you want to do more than just providing some hotkeys and a way to read the board state, which is how most people think these sorts of games can be made accessible, it really takes a lot of work to make it so that, you know, everything is being described to you as it happens. Everything is in sync, the audio, the minions attacking each other, everyone dying, the speech itself, it doesn't just call out a random amount of stuff that happened over the boards. It knows how to simplify a lot of things, like
both minions died, all minions
opponents to
your opponent's
X died. and your opponent's blah died. You know, it's like, oh my god, like it's so fluid.
Yeah,
exactly. All of that takes a lot of work, and I think people don't always notice those things, but there's really
so many variables,
so many of those, and I think I've posted this somewhere, but the best example for me, or I think this is an example that's quite easy to understand and something that you wouldn't even normally think about. So if you think about the game itself, and if you, to give you an example, imagine you're playing as a mage against a warrior or something, and you draw a fireball. So fireball is a card that deals 6 damage to a character.
Yep.
If you're playing as a mage and you want to use a fireball, you may have the hotkey for selecting the fireball and for casting it. So you press enter, and then it asks you to pick a target, which you use tab to cycle through those targets. Now, you don't even think about this, but when you press tab, the first target you'll get will be an enemy minion, basically. And if your opponent doesn't have a minion, it will be your opponent's hero.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if you play, say, if you're playing as a warlock instead, and if you play a voodoo doctor, which is a minion that has a battle cry, which restores 2 health.
I see where this is going.
The first target that you get is actually your hero.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
These things seem quite obvious, as 99% of the time you'd want to target your opponent if you play a damaging spell, or one of your characters if you play a healing spell. But there's actually nothing stopping you from targeting your hero with a fireball or healing your opponent's hero with the doctor, right?
Yeah. I've actually done it by accident.
Yeah, exactly.
Knows I did it to him.
Yep.
Exactly. And that's because, you know, as far as the game is concerned, they're all equally valid targets, and you're free to do what you want. And this is absolutely fine for a sighted player, because the way you interact with the fireball, for instance, is you look at the target first, and the way you cast the fireball is you actually drag the cards from your hand into the minion or your opponent's hero. And so you don't really care about the fact that you can drag it onto your hero or anything else, because you're not even looking there. Yeah,
right.
And you just don't look there. And that's the thing, you know, if the act of doing something as simple as that changes, and it does with TTS, because you have to read through targets before you even choose something. So when the mere act of looking at your targets requires you to navigate a list, the list better start with the most likely to be chosen option first, so you don't mistakenly throw a fireball in your face every other game or do something else. So it really seems simple, but the game doesn't have any sort of indicator on these things. So it just the fact that this exists means that I had to write code that is able to categorize thousands of cards as friendly or unfriendly according to their English text and make it work with every other language, because we support other languages as well now. So it's, you know, just wow. There's so many simple things like this, and they all add up in the end. And that's why it's not making something like this is not as simple as just reading port state
and providing hotkeys. Definitely. And the thing is, like, you're completely right. Like, I really like that explanation, because you're right when you say it's natural to us now, because you're right that I've noticed that, but I've noticed it in the back of my mind, and I never think about it. I just expect a healing card to target the hero first, you know, my hero first, you know, or a damaging card to target the enemy first. I just expect that. And like, when it comes to the user experience, that's what you want. You want people to expect that. And it, you're right. It's really, really great. That was a much better explanation than what I've been giving people, because I've been talking up the mod, of course, you know, in a lot of places. And every time I talk about it, I say, just think about this, guys. Just think. Hearthstone doesn't have keyboard support. This is the way that I explain it. I say, Hearthstone doesn't have keyboard support. In when you're playing Hearthstone as a sighted person, you drag your cards around. And this mod does all of that for you.
Yep.
So, you know, that's how I explain it.
Yeah, it's... To get back, I guess, on the patch thing and why or how I could approach this, I guess. So the patch itself, since it's a patch and not a mod, it doesn't actually mess with your mouse and try to click things or drag things around or anything. Right. There are a few things where it does have to move your mouse, but that's mostly because a lot of the game is dependent on your mouse being in a certain place, and that's why the mouse is locked by default.
Yeah.
So hence the F8 key and all of that. But since it's a patch, what I can actually do is I can hook into everything that exists within the game, really, because I'm changing the core of the game in a few different places. So I can just attach those keys to programmatically do the same actions that a mouse would do, but I don't actually have to control the mouse or anything. And it's that's basically it, really.
Yeah, and the cool thing about that is I've studied up enough. Like I've listened to other people play the game, and you know, enough matches to play against other people, you start to figure out that the other player, if you're playing online, the other player doesn't get your midpoint feedback. So like so if you're about to use a fireball and you click on the fireball and you're holding the fireball, the other player actually doesn't see that. It doesn't come through to them until it's cast.
Mm-hmm.
So for anyone else, even other people online, there's no noticeable difference at all, which is really cool. Like, there's nothing to make people go, oh, they're doing this terrible thing.
Ah, they're totally cheating. Ah.
There's nothing like that. There's nothing at all like that. It's great.
Yeah, there's a few things, like when you're going through your hand, for example, the mod actually, so it does allow you to read the cards and everything. But one thing that I decided to do, this is not at all necessary, but since I know that we have a lot of streamers like yourself who would potentially be interested in streaming the game, I actually, for most things, even though you're selecting things and traversing lists programmatically, I made it so the mouse could, in some situations, just focus different elements. So if you're reading through your hand, for instance, and someone is looking at you playing, they will see the cards. Yeah, they'll see the card that you're actually reading. And that was just with videos and streaming and all of that in mind.
Yeah, I didn't even know that. That's really cool. That's a really cool idea. It's just like a little extra thought that goes into that. That's
awesome.
I think I have at least one more question, and it's my favorite question. My favorite question is, can you, Guide Dev, provide us with an official Breakdown Walls podcast exclusive Can you tell us something that is not out there yet, that is coming, that is in the future of Hearthstone Access? Is there anything like that?
So the question that I get the most, or rather the question variation that I get the most, is when will X feature come out, or what's course, my roadmap, and what are the dates when X, Y, and Z will come out. I've been thinking about what the roadmap looks like for the last couple of days, so I think I can, share my thoughts on this. Should hopefully at least provide you some insights into where my mind is at, and to keep in mind that a lot of this is always subject to change, as you know, I run into new things and whatnot.
Yep.
So first of all, I'm if you try to slice the player base right now in casual players and casual player, by casual players I mean the players who mostly use what the mod allows them to do. And serious players as the ones that, use GC scripts and OCR and all that stuff. So both of you would be certainly be in that.
I made it to Bronze 4 last month. So.
Oh, man.
That's really nice. Yeah, so I think we have a pretty even distribution between both. And I need to spread my attention between those two groups. So it's, I often get... I release something that caters mainly for casual players, for instance, and then serious players become, I wouldn't call it annoyed, but disappointed that I wasn't working on online or whatever, and I was instead releasing some solo adventure. But it's, I try to do my best to cater for both at once, and I try to prioritize things accordingly. So what I can say right now is that, first of all, my first priority is that I want to finish any core game mechanics that are still missing. So I just released quests, side quests, and quest lines the other day.
That works so well, by the way.
Yeah, it's really real nice. So we can see the progress.
It really does. Cool. Me and Sirlock both run Quest Warlocks now, and I love one of the little tiny annoyances that we had running them before this patch was I might be in the moment and forget how much damage I've dealt to myself for the quest. Mm-hmm. And now we know. Now we always know. So there you go.
Cool. I hadn't heard feedback from that yet. So I'm happy you liked it.
Really well. It works super well.
I've seen it on a few quest lines now. I've tried a quest mage. Thanks to Tavern Brawl this week for allowing me to try more quest line cards.
Oh, nice.
So yeah. There you go.
Yeah, anyway, so
go on.
No, really. That's kind of why I did it. It's online is not officially supported right now, but I do know that people are playing online with GC scripts.
We're doing it anyway.
Yeah. So I don't want people to have a terrible experience. The ones that are doing that, and that's why I prioritize quest lines, because I know that the current meta has a lot of quest warlocks and stuff like that.
Meta is all quests all day.
Yeah,
all the time, all quests, all the time.
So that's mainly why I did it and prioritized it. And I, since so many people are playing online anyways, like I said, I do want to finish any core game mechanics that I have missing. I know that tradable at least is one of those things that I haven't implemented yet.
Yeah.
Although that shouldn't be too hard. But there may be a few other things and minor adjustments here and there that I haven't really noticed. So that's really is my main priority right now. But I do have that's more of a short-term thing, or as it happens sort of thing. At the same time, and in parallel, I have two different streams of work and features that I'd like to tackle on. The first one is I'd like to continuously release new solo adventures, because a lot of players enjoy these, even though they're not particularly interested in online play. And
the solo adventures are fun. I love them.
I'm interested in online play, and I still love the solo adventures. I like the stories in them, and I like the. I know some people will call them gimmicky, but I love the fights. They teach you things about cards, and I like them.
Them a
lot. And they teach you about synergies and
Actually. Exactly. They really help bridge the gap between, the tutorial and initial practice matches with everything else, because a lot of those fights really do require you to understand about board control, mana, and all of that.
Yeah.
And the cool thing about that is that, especially with solo adventures like the Book of Heroes, since they are mainly normal games that use and introduce a few mechanics here and there, what I've actually been doing is I've been developing and testing things using solo adventures. So when you think about why the last or why Garrosh was only released this week, that's because the last fight in that, without spoiling anyone, the last fight does have a quest card. And
it does, that's right.
Yeah, and you know, it's one of those things that's I've heard this comment a lot, which was, oh, you should just release solo adventures and let us test it. I don't really want to do that because the users who can access them anyways through OCR and whatnot, they will have the tools to, you know, inspect a quest card.
We'll tell you when stuff's broken.
Yeah. but the players who don't have those tools, if you release the entire Book of Heroes to everyone, there's a lot of players who will just be confused because they won't be using OCR and they won't know that some Malfurion battle, instead of you facing a hero, you have to survive for a number of turns or whatever. Yep. There's all of those gimmicks that come up.
The first battle, I actually just started his story, and the first battle in that, you have to play a certain number of training cards in it.
Yep. Yeah.
And it's not immediately obvious currently, mm-hmm. so yeah, I get it.
I've gotten used to the sound effect that means you've done the right thing to advance. Yeah. Like, there is a sound mm-hmm. that means that, but it's definitely good to know.
Yeah. And that's you know, that's really why I, because I mean, looking at the Book of Heroes, I won't lie to you, the entire menu is accessible. I purposely only allow you to select the first three because I know those are okay. And you know, there's this thing with the F8 key. I did include it because I knew people would want to do things like you guys are doing with OCR and whatnot. Yeah. and especially.
I figured out crafting with OCR, and
I started crafting a few.
Yep.
That's awesome.
I'm very angry with you right now. Not really.
There's a nice, nifty mass disenchant button that will get rid of all your dupes. So you'll get a nice...
Okay, I'm going to need to talk to you after the interview.
Okay. That's a pretty nice find, though.
Yeah. Okay, but go on.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it, really. That's why I have an F8 key. And the good thing about the F8 key is that you know that the moment you press it, you can use OCR, you can access whatever you want to access, but you're not entitled to complain that I have a bug somewhere or that something hasn't been made accessible. Because you take the risks of doing whatever it is you're doing as soon as you press that key.
Yep, that's right.
And if you don't use F8 and you access anything in the game and you run into a bug, you can and should warn me about it so I can have a look and fix it. But just having that hard line is really useful, to be honest.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. That's why I'm completely okay with it. Like, you know, you literally mm-hmm. just told us that technically the entire Book of Heroes menu is accessible. Yeah. And yet, the reason I accept that is because I know, because I've played enough mm-hmm. of them, that I know that what you're saying is true, that these things introduce and have their own mechanics in some cases. I mean, look at the Book of Mercenaries. You have group battles in that thing. that's a whole new beast of its own. So I imagine that'll be a lot of fun to well, actually, I mean, given what you've already done, it's probably not going to be too tough, honestly, because really it's just at the beginning of some fights in the Book of Mercenaries, you just choose which mm-hmm. party member you want to go with. So yeah, I think you'll want to have too much trouble with that. But anyway, point is, I get that. Like, I totally understand that you're completely right, that's a good way to test. It's a good way to introduce new mechanics. Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree with that approach completely. I think, unless you have more exclusive information.
I had the other.
Yeah, that's right.
The other one. Go ahead. Yeah, just for the serious players, so they don't get mad at me. Yes. And this is really quick. It's just to say that, you know, I'll continue. So parallel to this, I will continue making other screens and UIs accessible until players have everything they need at their disposal to play online and just climb the rank ladder all the way to the top, like a sighted player would.
Yeah.
So this means not only making the online mode itself accessible, but it also means opening packs, quests, claiming those track rewards, crafting, disenchanting cards, even though a lot of players, like you, Starlock, have just said that you can disenchant cards now.
I mean, yeah, I do it because it's just like I'm impatient and I have But
I didn't figure it out, though. You sure did.
Opening packs especially is something I'm looking forward to because I, a lot of times, will just have... even though you can kind of OCR a little bit through it.
It's not great.
It's not that great. So a lot of times I just have my girlfriend, who is sighted, just look at the things that as I open them and read me the stats. Because you can't really see the stats.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to the mod reading pack openings. Yeah, definitely looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's all on my list. And I think that's perhaps even more important than just clicking the play button, which is now called the Hearthstone button or whatever.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, yeah.
Wow. It is.
I didn't even know that because the GC file still says play. So
somebody mentioned that, like, it's interesting how that, like, Hearthstone is almost becoming a gaming platform and not, like, because, like, Mercenaries mode is basically a whole different game.
Oh, yeah. That was going to be my other question.
It's insane.
My other question, and this is something you honestly. Can if you want to half answer this, go ahead and half answer it. But here's my other question: how much does Mercenaries scare the crap out of you?
It looks daunting. I'll say that much from my standpoint. It looks daunting, Zach.
It's so different though from everything else. Like, are you feeling all right? Do you think you can do it?
So, like Sturlock mentioned, the part behind making Hearthstone more of a platform and not as a game, that's certainly the impression that I'm getting myself. And Mercenaries is just one more game. It's not the first one that's completely off track. Yeah,
Battlegrounds is pretty different as well.
Yeah. Battlegrounds is completely different as well.
I didn't realize that. I never even tried Battlegrounds, so...
Yeah,
it's not at all accessible currently.
Yeah, it's not at all accessible.
You couldn't even GC your way through it.
Oh, wow.
Because it uses card dragging and stuff, so there's no way. Well,
yeah, and it's, Battlegrounds, Mercenaries, those sorts of things, they really are games on their own. They reuse a lot of the same assets, and the feel is the same, but the game itself, the rules are completely different. To be honest, I did watch... some of that Mercenaries reveal trailer after you mentioned it on the Discord server, Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still confused as to what how that even works.
Most people are. That's the general consensus. And most people are still
the confused. Analogy that I came up with for that was it had the air of an excited kid.
I think we lost.
I think Starlock. Did we lose you? Oh no, Starlock! No, no, come back to us, Starlock! We can't do this alone. We need you, Starlock. We need you. I think I know what happened. I think you might have gotten a call. That happens. The problem with Anchor is. We do it on mobile platforms, so if you get a call, it interrupts the whole thing, and that's part of the reason we had technical difficulties before.
Oh, yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, it does. So Mercenaries being just another game.
Mm-hmm.
Once, let's put it this way then: once you figure out how it works, are you feeling like that's going to be something that you'll tackle in the future, or is that kind of your philosophy? Is that it's still part of Hearthstone, therefore, it'll be maybe in the way future plans, but it'll be in there somewhere.
I think, to be honest, it's right now it's somewhat of a low priority,
mostly
because I want to focus on the main game. But even with the main game and with the solo adventures and everything else, So I'd like to keep making everything that players are interested in accessible, but I just don't really know for whether people are going to want to keep playing this a few months from now, 1 year from now, or whatever. So it's a bit hard to say. And at the same time, given that game modes like Mercenaries or Battlegrounds are quite a bit, you know, they're big investments compared to just making a bunch of screens accessible. So I'd really like to make sure that first, they can provide a proper accessible experience to have a player autonomously play, feeling like it's a proper game built for them, which looking at Battlegrounds, for instance, I'm not entirely sure that it is something like that. It is extremely, extremely confusing even as a sighted player, and it's very visual in its form at the moment. Yeah, I haven't played it, but I've seen a few games of it. And my girlfriend is actually, she's quite a good Hearthstone player, and she's been playing it for the past couple of days to teach me about it mainly. And it's extremely difficult to understand what's going on in the later turns, and you are extremely limited in the moves that you can actually do in terms of time and everything. So, and it's also not, I mean, it's a game mode that people have gravitated towards once it came out for a few days, but at the end of the day, they came back to Hearthstone and to constructed decks and all of that. So it's, you know, a return of investment sort of thing when compared to making other, more areas of classical Hearthstone, like other solo adventures or arena or anything like that accessible.
Yeah, I think that's a nice way of putting that. I think that's I think that's good. I like, even though I personally feel like, yes, absolutely, I'll be playing Hearthstone a month, a year from now. Like, I have that level of dedication to Hearthstone. I've even my fiance is like, you officially have a Hearthstone problem. I'm like, I know I do. I just don't care. I love it.
That's very good.
And so I definitely have that, but I definitely acknowledge that you want to go with the direction of the crowd overall, you know, and see if other people are maintaining that that level of connection.
Yeah.
So I personally hope they do, because I would love to play some Mercenaries at some point. But I definitely acknowledge it doesn't have to be right away, you know, even if it takes 478 bajillion years. Then, you know, I'll be fine. I have plenty to do in the meantime, building decks and apparently now disenchanting things and crafting things, and I don't know. But I don't know, I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
I think, sadly, we lost Sirlock, but I think we might have to end the interview. I haven't gotten a message from him since we lost him, so I think we might go ahead and end things here.
Yep.
But I do want to say that it has been an honor to have you on the show. It's been fantastic. We really, really appreciate it. You deserve the credit. You should give yourself more of it. You've done a really good thing. Again, we thought this door was closed to us potentially forever, and yeah, flung it wide open and said, here, enjoy. So, thank you very much.
Thank you, Brandon, for the comments and all the nice words, and well, for having me on the show.
yeah, definitely. Like I said, everything with you is a huge coincidence. This is episode 99 of the podcast. You release Hearthstone Access on my 3-year stream anniversary. How do you do these things? I don't know. but yeah, it's really appreciated. Here's what I'll do for Sirlock. I will send him a message post interview, which we're about to do. I'll send him a message real quick and say if he has any questions for you, to contact you on Twitter and go ahead and throw them your way.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you again. It's been good. Thanks to the listeners for listening to this wonderful interview. And we out. Have a good one, my friends.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
This has been episode 99 of the Breakdown Walls podcast. 99, Sirlock.
Wow.
I keep mentally going back to it. 99.
What a way to go out.
What a way to,
99 is this interview, kind of.
Yep. How perfect is
that? Like a month ago, we didn't know this even existed. And
yeah.
We were just like, oh, we'll never play Hearthstone.
Or Hearthstone. No one plays that. Blind people. What?
Blind people. No, they don't play Hearthstone.
Oh man, yeah, it's a great way to end the I guess the season, because since next week's the final one in this format.
Yep.
We're kind of going out this way. We're gonna cover the PlayStation event, but this is kind of it for the standard format right here.
Yep.
Man, all right. Well, first of all, wasn't that interview great? Yes, it was.
It was.
We even got some podcast exclusive info during the interview, and that's pretty awesome.
Exclusive.
I was hoping that he'd have something to give us, and he did.
World premiere.
Yes, and we actually kind of got that. We got some info on the roadmap and the way things are going to progress. So nice. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. Tune in next week. We'll be covering the PlayStation Showcase and doing a best of the Breakdown Walls podcast for the entire show, the entire 100 episodes of show. I'm going to be putting that together sometime next week. I'll find the time. Trust me, I'll find the time. Don't worry. Yeah, so that's going to do it for episode 99. Yeah. Wow. Like, what else? What do you say? Yeah, we enjoy doing this show, and we're looking forward to the new format, and especially next week, looking forward to doing the best of, because there's a lot of memories, even in this 100 episodes, so
yep,
looking forward to that. For now, I have some cards to craft, Sturlock.
And you know how it goes.
Yeah, man. We will see you guys next week for the big show.